You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Like that worship is just incredible time. You know, I could have just gone on. Just kept going, and it's just incredible. And I want to encourage you tonight just to continue to press in. There's something very powerful, not only what God is doing in this place, but what God wants to do in you individually, you know. And worship is a vehicle, it's an opportunity for us to press into God. And I just want to share a very simple message with you tonight. Excuse me. It's based around Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 through 28. Let me read it to you, or if you have your Bible, and just follow along. Matthew 15, verse 21. And it says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she responded, she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." I've entitled tonight's message, "A Life of Breakthrough." Really, you could pop faith in there, a life of faith. But I just saw some keys I just want you to get a hold of tonight that I believe will bless you. It'll certainly help you in your walk with God, that I saw in this incredible lady, this Canaanite or Phoenician woman. Phoenician is an interesting group of people. They were actually called the purple people of all things. I've heard of the orange people. I've heard of all sorts of different types of people. They were the purple people. And part of their job was to actually dye the clothes for the priesthood, for the king's adornment. So they had a fairly important role. But I just want you to picture her for a moment. Her daughter. I know many of us can relate relate to that. But her daughter has some... a demon possessed. She is demon possessed. And I want you to get the heart of the Canaanite woman. Can you imagine what it would have been like for her? Just the challenge of that. And then knowing that Jesus was coming into your region, the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is where Canaan is, Canaanite area region is. And she would have heard, there's no doubt she would have heard about Jesus and the incredible miracles that took place at his hand. And I can imagine she would have, I guess there would have been some, maybe a little bit of apprehension as to just exactly what was going to happen, but there would have been some excitement. Man, if I could just get to see him, if I could just be in his presence, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And she wasn't even an Israelite, but I can imagine something drove her into God's presence, into Jesus' company. And I want you to sense that tonight. I just saw in her life a life of incredible breakthrough. And here she is. She's pressing in. She sees Jesus. And she's moving toward him. And the Bible says, in her words, she says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came. And she said, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David.'" So she realized and acknowledged who he was. His heritage. So she begins to speak to him. And no doubt, I believe her expectation would have been high based on what she would have heard. So she goes before Jesus and she cries out to him and says, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed." And then Jesus has this incredible word. Jesus says, not a word. Jesus says, not a word. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you've been believing God for a breakthrough? You've been believing God for something to move? You've been believing God for something to be done in a situation or a circumstance? And it almost feels like God is saying, not a word. Not a word. This is the King of Kings. This is the one who saves. This is the one who delivers. This is the one who sets free. And not a word comes from his mouth. Not a word. You know, I've heard it said, you know, you only really need to pray once. God is in death. But you know, logically, yes. But how many know spiritually? No. You've got to press in. You've got to push through. And there's some things that I believe are key to a life of breakthrough. And let me tell you, the church needs to be, and we need to be, people that know how to break through. We know how to push through. We know that when adversity comes or when situations and circumstances come before us, and even if God says not a word, we will stand on his word and his word alone. There is something about breakthrough that I saw in this lady. Incredible. Imagine if God says nothing to you. You think, is this Christianity really all it's made out to be? I remember just as a very young Christian, just got saved. Kim's dad actually led me to the Lord. And in Bow Desert, the thriving metropolis, incredible place, massive place, 5,000 people. I practically knew them all. So, of course, I got saved. So the first thing I wanted to do was get out of the place because everybody knew me. So I headed down to Mildura. It was incredible. I felt the presence of God like I have never experienced, certainly at that, as a very young Christian. I remember hopping off the bus. I don't know where we were, but I hopped off the bus. And it was just morning, you know, just a sunrise. And I thought, wow, how good is God? He is incredible. And I just had this incredible love and just this experience that God really, through his grace, showed me. And I just had such the best time. And then it was only a couple of weeks later, just a couple of weeks later, I was just having the best time with God. I woke up one morning, it was as if he had gone. It was as if he had left me. I rang my brother up, who was the music director in Bow Desert. I said, "Bro, this something's wrong." He said, "Well, what's up, bro? What's up?" I said, "God's left me or something. I can't hear him. I don't know what's going on. Has he left me? Am I not saved anymore?" And of course, I just heard a little chuckle in the background. He says, "No, everything's fine, bro. Everything's fine." I said, "But I can't hear him. I feel like he's gone." He says, no, that's called maturity. That's called moving on in God. And you know, that we just need to know that it's going to take a bit of effort from us. We're not always going to feel like he's always with us. We're going to find some struggles in life. And this lady was right there, this Canaanite woman, and her desire was to see her daughter made whole, no doubt about it. And God says, not a word. Everyone say resistance. Let me tell you, this is the first key that I saw. And it is a persistent attitude. She was persistent. Sometimes persistence is the only way to deal with resistance. Persistent. She had a persistent attitude. God hadn't spoken to her. But as we look through this passage, you'll see a heart of a woman who lived a life of breakthrough. In Daniel, we see that. In Daniel 10, verse 12, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia.'" Don't have time to get into that. But basically that's speaking about resistance to your persistent prayer. Know that the devil does not want you to succeed. He hates to see you succeed. He hates to see us break through. He hates to see people come to know him, to be saved and set free. It takes persistence. The Bible says through faith and patience. Patience is being persistent with the things of God. A persistent attitude. The second thing is this, and we see it in verse 24 of Matthew 15. Jesus says this. He finally responds. He says, "But he answered and said to the Canaanite woman, 'I was sent not, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" The very words you want to hear when you want God to answer your prayer. Basically, he was saying, "You're not of the house of Israel. You're not a child of God. You're not a part of the covenant I made with Abraham." Great, encouraging words. But look at her response. What an incredible response. "Then she came," the Bible says, "and worshipped him." Worshipped him. Saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." We see her heart. She worshipped him. There's something about worship, and I believe we're tapping into it. Pastor Ted's been sharing some keys in relation to worship. Lots of different things, but keys to worship that we need to get a hold of. There's something about worship. God responds to worship. Worship woos the heart of God. God loves to see people that worship in spite of the situation or the circumstance. Now, how many can agree? She had quite a situation and a circumstance. Her loved one was suffering. And yet she chooses to worship. The Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. She is a worshiper. God has called us to worship. Worship. The attitude of a worshiper. What an incredible woman. Let's move on with the scripture. It doesn't get a lot better for her. In verse 26 and verse 27, it says this. Again, Jesus, in response to her worship. "But he answered and said," Jesus said, "it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." What an incredible attitude of gratitude. Think about that for a moment. I mean, really, it doesn't do much for your self-esteem. Jesus says, basically calls them little dogs. I know people who have left churches for less than that. And yet she is so persistent. She pushes past the offense. And if there is one hurdle that we as a people of God, and I'm talking not just our church, but every church, if there is one hurdle, let's just call it a hurdle, that we face, that Christianity faces today, and that is the area of offense. you struggle with offense. But this lady, she pushes past. She pushes past. And we've got to learn to push past offense. We've got to push past. I remember this, and I brought this little poem. It just really spoke to me about people who are unoffendable. Let's be a church known that we're a church that are unoffendable. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to love you anyway. Anyway, this is this poem. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Not you, of course. Others. Love them anyway. If you do good to people, if you do good, people will accuse you of selfish and ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. Honesty and frankness makes you vulnerable, but be honest and frank anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. That is so true. But do good anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. What you spend years building up, may be destroyed overnight, but build anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll probably get kicked in the... Give your best anyway. You see, that's living a life, an unoffendable life. And I saw that in that lady. Like Jesus, I believe Jesus was testing her faith. There's no doubt about that. But she didn't hang on to the offense. She had opportunity to be offended. Not just there. It was like it was ramping up. First he calls her not even a child of God, which was true. And then before that he says, I didn't even come for you. I came for the house of Israel. Basically say you're not worthy. And then he heaps this on her. The key to it is this. She had an opportunity to be offended, but she didn't nurse the offense. That's what we tend to do. We get offended, and rather than deal with it, we nurse it. I'm offended. Really, I've been really offended. A church one. Nobody understands. Really, I've been, and we tend to nurse it. It's like it's mine. It's my offense. Hello? Yeah. Have I shared that with you lately? Remember? I told you last week, that's me. I got offended. Seriously. We tend to nurse it. And then what we slip into then, after nursing it, is then we begin to rehearse it over and over and over again till we know it off by heart. We rehearse the offense. See the key to this lady. She looked past the offense. And because she was able to look past, and that's what we need to do. We've got to look past it. And because she did that, God was able to disperse it, to deal with it. Look at what the Bible says as we close. 5 minutes ago, sorry. Then he said, Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. As you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. An attitude of breakthrough. I am going to push through the desire. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Commit your way to the Lord. and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Your desires. What are the desires of your heart? Yeah. What is the desire? What was the desire of the Canaanite woman? It was, yeah, but it was her daughter. The desire to see her daughter made whole. It says, God will give you the desires, but it's more than desire. It was love that drove her. It was love that fueled the desire, that she was willing to push past. She was persistent in her attitudes. She recognized the importance of worship. She was grateful for the fact that even the crumbs would do. And she pushed past the fence. What are the desires of your heart? What has maybe come against you? What are the things that can so easily come against you that you know need to be dealt with? Offense is an incredible challenge that can be dealt with if we're willing to push through. Amen. It's the little things that can stop us from receiving. What is your desire? What are those things? Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. Pray that you would continue to speak to each and every one of us tonight. And Lord, we acknowledge that the need to break through, to push through, the need to trust you, to love you. Our desire is for you to come with an attitude of worship. And it's you who gives us the desires of our heart. I pray over each and every person here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would meet every person where they're at tonight. You know the thoughts and the intents, the motives of each of us tonight. And I pray that you would move, and that you would touch, and that you would heal, and that you would deliver, and that you would set free in this place tonight as we pray. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet for a few moments as the worship team. That was a good word, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, you know, it's so important that whenever we hear the word of God, that we take something from that that could potentially change our lives. And, you know, tonight as Henry shared, you know, as I was just writing down some notes on that, and how important it is to really be the kind of Christians that can't be offended. I really do believe that in this day and age, it's so easy. We have a generation, I'm not talking about just young people, but this is a generation that's so easily offended. Unless we're saying something that's politically correct, people get offended so easily. You know, you only have to look at social media to see that. People think that they're fighting for justice when in fact, you know, we've become thin-skinned in so many ways. And as Christians, God called us to have soft hearts and thick skin. Amen? And the other thing that really, my takeaway from that message today is is you persist, because Jesus said to never give up in prayer. You never give up in prayer. You know why? And even though God heard you the first time you prayed, why you never give up? Because the more you pray, the more you change. Because what prayer does is above what God's ability to change your circumstance. What prayer does, it changes your heart, because it draws you closer to God. Amen. And it's just so important when Jesus said, "Great is your faith." And I love the fact that that woman said, "Just a crumb is enough. Just a crumb is enough. Just little crumbs are enough." I looked at that when Jesus said, "Great is your faith." I just realized something that really just got Jesus. In essence, she was saying that I don't need the whole bread for my life to change. Come on, Jesus is so great in power that if I just get a glimpse, come on, just a touch, right? A crumb. The woman with an issue of blood said this: if I could just touch the hem, are you getting this? If you could just touch a small portion of who Jesus is, and he could do amazing. Can you imagine if you get the fullness of him? God doesn't want you to have crumbs. He wants you to have the whole bread. Hallelujah. Because he is the bread of life, right? Amen. The worship team's going to kick us off and just worship right now. And I know you've been at the altar during worship, but here's what I want to really talk to you about in response to this. How many of you tonight say, "I just want the fullness of God in my life"? Amen. I want the fullness of faith, and I want God to prepare me for the great things that he wants to do, not only in my life and through my life, but in the lives of other people. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And maybe tonight you've got some things that you've been praying about and you're not seeing a breakthrough. And maybe tonight, in your response, you're going to begin to see breakthrough. Amen? As the team sings, I just want to open the altar again. If you want prayer, or if you just want to come to respond to that word and say, "I want to be that kind of woman where Jesus said you have great faith, because I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I want to give my best in what God's called me to do. I want to give everything. I want to pour myself out for the purpose of God. That's what I want." Amen? That's what I'm going to do for Jesus. I'm going to pour my life out for him. That's my decision tonight. Amen? So I'm going to open the altar for you to respond as the team sings. You can come now anytime as they sing. Hallelujah.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.